All right, well, I'm so thankful to be here. God is so good, and he is so good to us. I just want to begin here with a prayer. Sovereign Lord, oh Father of the universe, we just come to you with humbleness in our heart, Father. We know that you are the great I am. We know that you're Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom. You are so much more than we can possibly fathom, think, or say. Sometimes all we have to do is just stand in your presence and just let our spirit within us just, And that's all we have because you are so powerful and you are so mighty and you are so gorgeous and beautiful, and words sometimes can't express what we feel on the inside towards you. Father, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you for this day because it is the day that the Lord has made. I will choose. I will stand in agreement with your word and choose to be glad in it, regardless of what I woke up this morning and faced, regardless of what I face tomorrow, regardless of what this day brings, good or bad. I will choose to be standing in accordance with the word that says the joy in the Lord is my strength. Man, it is a light unto my feet. It is a lamp unto my path. The word of God is so true. Father, we just ask for your presence to come into this place. Holy Spirit, you have free will and free reign to move in this house, Lord Jesus, as you want to move. Touch the lives of the women here today, Lord, that they may walk out forever changed by your word and by your touch, and only your word and only your touch. Father, this is your stage, and it's your stage alone. And I give you full authority to rule and reign in this place. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for this study on Ruth, knowing that you have ordained it, that you have already breathed it into existence. Father, help us to understand it with our mind, to grasp it and receive it with our heart, to see it with our eyes and to hear it with our ears, Lord, that we may do the thing you have called us to do within the kingdom of God, within this journey that we are on. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the women here. Blessings, protection around them from head to toe. And those listening live, protection around them. I pray against any attack of the enemy that would try to come and steal, kill, and destroy what God is fixing to pour into their lives. I pray that God's will overrule the enemy's rule in their life. Amen. And I thank you for who you are. In Jesus' mighty and precious and magnificent name. Amen. Amen. God is good. He is good all the time. Ladies, this is Bible study, and we like to study the
Bible.
Y'all are so smart. God is so good. If you do not have a Bible here this morning, please get up and grab one, because we are going to be digging into the Word of God like you would go and dig in a treasure chest to find the perfect jewel. Let me tell you what, the Bible is that in your life. It's full of treasures. It's full of the perfect accessory that you need in your life for that day. You just got to dig in and get it. Amen. So if you don't have a Bible, there's plenty of them here. Carol, do you know of any Bibles back there?
I was just
Well, I know they're in that room back there. So if you don't have one, please grab one. And if you have one, please turn your Bible to the chapter of Ruth. Who knew that we were studying Ruth? Oh my goodness. Six of y'all? The rest of y'all are just here on a whim? That's awesome. Well, we are studying the book of Ruth. This is my first study to do on an actual book of the Bible. All the studies that the Lord has given me have been on a specific topic, which has been what he's wanted to do. But this semester, he wanted me to do it on the book of Ruth. It's called The Journey Home. We are going to be studying Ruth's journey physically from Moab to Israel, but it's also an extreme spiritual journey from her past to her future. So if you will turn to Ruth, Ruth is before 1 Samuel. If you've gone to the Kings, you're too far. It's right after Judges, Ruth chapter 1. When you get there, please say amen, hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, I hear a lot of amens, but not very many hallelujahs. That means you're in the process of getting there, right? All right, so I want to start off by going ahead and reading Ruth chapter 1. Now, I don't tend to read a lot from the Bible to start off with, but because the chapters are not very long, and because we are going to really, really, really pull it apart and dig down verse by verse on specific things, I want you to have an overview of exactly what I'm going to be speaking about this morning, or what the Holy Spirit wants to speak about this morning. Are you ready? In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Just so y'all know, on the video, I said Moab. Did y'all catch that? I totally messed up. One person called me and said, Amanda, fabulous video, but it's Moab, not Moab. Don't you love people like that? Praise God for people that have a word of correction. Verse 2, the man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephraimites, I think I said that right, from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Verse 3, now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left with her two sons and her husband. Without her two sons and her husband, excuse me. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Verse 8, when Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you, as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. And then she kissed them, and they wept aloud, and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who could become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait for them until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. Verse 14, we're almost there. At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Verse 15, look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the woman exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, she told them. Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Verse 22. So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Amen to the word of God. There's a lot going on here. I am so excited to get going here this morning. Are you? This series is a journey Ruth took from Moab to Judah, physically, but spiritually, it's a journey from our past to our heritage, which is our future. Each chapter is a chapter in her journey. The best way to prepare each week for this study is by reading the chapter we're fixing to study, okay? So I know that you didn't know, well, seven of y'all knew that we were studying Ruth, so amen. But for the rest of y'all, if you could read Ruth chapter 2, you'll come in here next week feeling like you've got something ready to go. But that's why I went ahead and read Ruth chapter 1 here this morning. This journey is amazing. There is so much to learn from what Ruth went to, what she went through. And I am so excited to begin to study this morning. Every time you start a story, every single time you start a story. Oh, before I begin this part, I want to let you know the title of this specific study, if it's not written on your paper. When past meets your now choice. When past meets your now choice. Every time you begin to study a story, you will realize that every story, every situation has a prequel to it. Every situation has a prequel. In fact, everybody in this room has a prequel to your now lives that you're living. Things that have happened, things that have happened in your life that make you act, talk, and feel a certain way now based on your prequel, the events that have happened in your life. This is why we cannot judge people. This is why we have to be very careful with the whispers that we give to other people, because we don't always know everybody's prequel. And we don't always know why they choose the choices that they make now based on the experiences that they have gone through. I'm talking about people that you don't know here this morning. We all have a prequel. Ruth had a prequel to Ruth chapter 1. There is more going on here than what we just read. And so to better understand Ruth and the beginning and the choices that she made in this first chapter, we need to know a little bit about her prequel. What is going on? What is happening? What started this journey to heritage? Where is Ruth coming from? What is in her mindset that would trigger choices and things that she decided to do? What was going on? What was going on in her land? What was going on in the land around her? Well, I want to begin with this. At the beginning of Ruth, you will read about a man named Elimelech. Elimelech had a wife named Naomi and two sons, and they were from the land of Israel. Because there was a famine in the land, this family decided to flee and go to Moab. Flee and go to Moab due to a famine in the land. Now, on a side note, I just want to break this down. This is just might be for one person. But on a side note, I want to say, when God allows a squeeze on you, come on. When God allows a squeeze on you, he's not asking you to flee him. Come on. When there's a squeeze on your life, he's not asking you to flee him. He's asking you to seek him, seek his shelter, and seek his refuge, and not run to the arms of another refuge. That was the first problem that Naomi got to, is that the squeeze came and she fled the arms of the one who had always taken care of her. And I don't know who this is for, but I've got Holy Spirit goosebumps right now. There is someone here that's wanting to flee. There is someone here that is wanting to get away from what they know has always been there for them, protected them, provided for them, done everything for them. It's the refuge, and you're wanting to flee because there's a squeeze happening right now, but God's saying, stick it out. Stick it out. There is refuge and there's shelter in the place that you're in. That just came from the Holy Spirit. That wasn't really in my notes. So they leave the shelter of Israel. They leave and they flee to Moab and they live there for 10 years. Come on. That's a long time. 10 years. Now, just a little history about Israel. Perhaps we would know why they're in the situation they're in. Before Ruth, there's Judges. In the book of Judges, the last chapter of Judges, the last verse in the last chapter of Judges, it says this. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. Wow. That kind of gives you a little bit of info, just a little bit of info, on possibly why Israel is in the state that they are actually in. Amen? What if here in Spring Branch, Texas, Bull Verde, Canyon Lake, New Braunfels, San Antonio, wherever we're from, what if we all just did as we saw fit? What would happen? Chaos. Chaos happens. When there is no law, when there is no rules, when there is no wisdom and discernment going out, and everyone just kind of does what they saw fit. In fact, if I gave y'all free will and reign to do whatever you wanted to do in here, I'm sure that a lot of us would butt heads, right? Especially when I start mentioning different things that are going on in the world today. Chaos. Chaos happens. And eventually, chaos leads to famine. It leads to places of crisis in our life. But in Ruth's land, the land of Moab, there is a lot more things going on. there was a lot more things going on in her land. Maybe perhaps in her mind and in her impression of Israel, she's seeing what has been going on for the last 10 years. She's seeing what the chaos that's going on over there. And maybe she's thinking in her mind that perhaps these are a people dealing with consequences to sin. And she might be keeping that in her mind over the past 10 years. Man, those are a people dealing with the consequences of their sin and what they decided to do. But in her land, in the land of Moab, all that Ruth has experienced is barrenness. Come on, ladies. There is no word of a child coming forth in 10 years. Barrenness, heartache, and death. Barrenness, heartache, and death. And those are probably the three most difficult things for a woman to have to walk through in their life. To be barren mentally, spiritually, and physically. To experience death in your life and heartbreak. Heartbreak. That is what she knows of her land. But, ladies, I've got a BUT this morning. I love it when God gives you a BUT. Ruth had a mother-in-law. Come on. I know some of y'all might not get along with your mother-in-law, but right now we're going to raise our hand to our mother-in-laws. Ruth had a mother-in-law. A mother-in-law. And this mother-in-law was a child from Israel. She grew up in Israel. She knew the customs. She knew the land. She knew the stories. And if you know anything about mother-in-laws here this morning, you know that mother-in-laws love to tell stories from history. Come on. Mine does. They don't like to tell you what's going on currently or all that kind of stuff. No, when you really sit down with them, they want to sit there and tell you about their youth. They want to tell you about the things that their parents did and the parents before that. They want to tell you heritage. They want to give you tell you a little bit about the legacy of the family. They want to tell you stories of history. So let me tell you, over the last 10 years, Ruth has heard some heritage and some history in the land of Israel. And you know what that history is? It's of a God who is God. Come on. That history is of a God who is for his people. A God that provided for them when they were in need. A God who was God. A God who parted the Red Seas and drowned the enemy of their life. A God who took them out of Egypt and slavery and brought them to a place of milk and honey. A God who provided for them in the desert, barren lands of their life and brought food from heaven that they knew not of. The history that this woman had about Israel was probably amazing. Ruth had history on the land of Israel from her mother-in-law. This place had a God that took care of them, saved them, healed them, restored them, and I'm going to say it, forgave them over and over and over and over again. On a side note, I like side notes. It is good, ladies, to have somebody in your life that's got some history of your God up in their belt. It is good to have somebody in your life that when you're going through something difficult and you just want to flee and you just want to leave, and they can sit there and tell you, no, 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 let me tell you the prequel to this God. Let me tell you the information. Let me tell you the history of what this God has done and what he can do and what he's going to do for his people. It is good to have someone that can encourage you about the history of your God. If you don't have someone like that in your life, please get one. Get one. Wow. There was some history under her belt. There was some history under her belt. Knowing all this that Ruth has walked through, come on, I just laid a foundation for her prequel. To her now thoughts, to her now actions. If you put yourself in Ruth's shoes, where would your heart put you? Past or future? Come on, ladies. Come on. I want you to get into Ruth's mind right now. Are you thinking barrenness, death? Are you thinking these things over here, heartbreak? Or are you thinking perhaps, maybe there's just maybe something over here in the history that I've been told? Maybe. Now, I want to go back and I want to talk about Naomi for just a second, just a wee little bit. Naomi is a big part in Ruth chapter 1, but mostly it's about Ruth. But Naomi, I want to talk about her current state. If you remember, Naomi's confession in this chapter is one from a place of gloom, pain, doubt, and frustration. Everything she said was, I'm bitter. The Almighty has had his hand against me. There's so much against me. Don't come with me. I'm horrible. Oh, he's against me. Man, you must be in a state of real pain when you start declaring that God's hand is up, up, up on top of you against you, right? You're in a place of real pain. But I want to tell you something real quick. Listen up. Listen up, because someone needs to hear this. Sometimes it's wise to trust people's wisdom out of their history and not out of their current emotion that they're feeling. Come on. Sometimes it's good to trust people's wisdom out of the history of where they've come from than out of their current emotion and where they're speaking. Because we're so quick to pick up on people when they're in a hoop in their life. Most people speak doubt out of their emotions, not out of wisdom. Most people speak doubt out of these emotions, gloom, frustration, pain, all the things that she describes, bitterness. They speak doubt out of that place. They're not speaking wisdom. I will remind you that there will be times in your life when your silent faith will have to overcome other spoken doubt. Because of what Ruth was going on here, she wasn't going on the current emotion here. Come on, we know that. We just laid that foundation. She can't possibly desire to be with this woman after her explanation of just her confession of doubt and pain. So what's Ruth going on here? She's going on the silent faith of the history that she knows. And sometimes in our life, we have to have silent faith over spoken doubt coming forth in our life. Sometimes the confession of your actions, they need to speak louder than the words that you are hearing. I want you to look at verse 7 and 8 real quickly. With her two daughters-in-law, she left home. She left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Verse 8. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. Here we go. Are you ready? Here is Ruth, packed up, ready to go. She is out of the house. She's on the road to this new place. Amen? Exciting. Anytime you start a road trip, man, at the very beginning of the road trip is the best part, is it not? The idea, the excitement of we're going, something's happening, I'm here, and she's here, and she's ready. She's going to do this thing. But I want to go back real quick because something really big happens here. Every Christian, every person that calls themselves a Christian is going to face this place in their life. And it's called the crossroads of life. It's when you come out of your past and you come to a road where the past is here and your future is here. And you come to this place and it's where you choose to decide. Come on, Christians. I'm talking to Christians here. Where you choose to decide to live between here and here, back and forth. Past to I want to do something new. Past to I want to do something new. Past because I want change. Past, I want to see my marriage restored. Past, I want to be healed. Come on. As Christians, we can either decide to live here or we take a step of faith and faith it every step of the way to the new place that God has for us. This is a place where every Christian has to decide what you're going to do because God is not going to force you. He's a gentleman. And yes, it is quicker to get back here. You know why? Because you can see it. And the things that we can see, we feel more comfortable with, even though they are heartache, barrenness, and death. But to have to keep our eyes on something that is unseen And we have to believe and faith that it's good for us. That takes a step of faith. It takes moving one leg in front of the other leg in your fishnet pantyhose, because you're still looking good, while you step out in faith. And that's the road. That's the place that every believer has to decide to do. Why is this a hard place to decide? Why are so many believers right here? Why is this such a hard place? Why do we get stuck here? What is going on? I'm going to tell you right now. Are you ready? The reason why we get stuck here is because this is the place where disappointment hits us. Come on, ladies. This is the place where disappointment usually steps in to discourage you and to keep you from believing all that heritage and history you've been told. This is the place where it happens. Come on, look at what's happening here. Ruth is being influenced and discouraged from outside influence. There is nothing on her inner gut that's telling her, oh, stop. The word of God doesn't say, and Ruth fell within her belly, something telling her to stop and turn back. No, what it says is that her mother-in-law was urging her and telling her, leave, go back, there's nothing for you, there's nothing here for you, go back to familiar things, go back. She tells them, go back to your gods, go back to what you're used to, just go back. And here Ruth is at the crossroads of life, ready to go on this new journey, so excited to faith it out with Naomi, and all this discouragement hits her. All from outside influences. I'm going to tell you something, ladies. Are you ready? Anytime you're headed in the right direction, be prepared for the halfway setbacks to discourage you. Anytime you're headed in the right direction, the enemy doesn't like it. He doesn't want you to move forward. He wants you to be stuck between the corner and your past. Be prepared for the halfway setbacks to discourage you and to keep you from moving forward in God. Come on, ladies. Has anyone ever been here that can testify that you're out on the road, you're excited to get going with God, and then all hell breaks loose in your life? Come on. Come on. I want to see some hands here this morning, because that is life right now. You're ready to go. You're excited about the good things God has for you, and on a trip. And all of a sudden, everything falls apart and discouragement hits you, and you want to go and hide and you want to go back to what's familiar because it's comfortable, even in deep pain. There's comfort there. Ooh, thank goodness for wisdom from the Word of God, because if we did everything out of our emotions and how we do, we'd be nowhere in life. When everything around you says to go back, when everything around you says there's nothing for you in future, go back to your old ways and your old God, go back. Even when your friend, your miha, your girl that's closer than a sister right next to you, you know what? Ruth had an opa there next to her. Is it opa? Or orpa? Thank you. Orpa. Opa means grandpa in German. So, that was a little Amanda-ism, though sometimes come out. So, she got her girlfriend next to her, and these traveling companions that you thought were going to stick it out with you till the end, all of a sudden they're kissing you goodbye, and you're alone. And you're alone. And you think, well, surely she's my BFF. She knows the way. But you know down deep inside that the past is not your future. That what is ahead is what God has for you. That heritage is ahead of you. It is not behind you. And I'm going to go ahead and say it because it's the right thing to say. Sometimes you're going to have to believe alone. Like Ruth. Sometimes your girlfriend not going to be there for you. Sometimes that mom or that mother-like figure is going to come and discourage you. And you're going to have to believe based on the intuition of the Holy Spirit. That's a river of living water, as Jesus said, that flows up out of you. You're going to have to trust that thing inside of you and keep going. There's a testimony where that's coming from, ladies, in just a minute. Keep going. Just like David had to encourage himself in the Lord when everything around him was a disaster. He just had his wife. He just had his kids taken, his city burned. The men are wanting to stone him and kill him. And yet he sat there at the well in the center of the city and said, God, your will, what do I do? And the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes you're the one that's going to have to get up and go to Bible study by yourself. Sometimes you're the one that's going to have to get up and turn on the praise and worship music. Sometimes you're the one that's going to have to get up and sing a song of goodness and thanksgiving to your God. No one else is there sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be you faithing it into heritage. We got to sometimes take our canes and our walkers and throw them and say, God, I can do this with you. I can do this with you. How do you do it? How do you get past the discouragement that hits us in this crossroads of life? How do we get past it? What does God give us in his word that helps us get past that place? Are you ready? Let's look at verse 14. Are you ready? Amen. At this, they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Goodbye. See you later. What did Ruth do? But Ruth clung to her. Oh, hallelujah. That is a big verse in the Bible that most people just read over, but it is truth in that word. Ruth clung to her mother-in-law. The word clung is the verb that the Bible uses. Clung means to adhere closely to stick to, stuck, embrace in a hug. To really adhere to what God has provided for escape is a beautiful thing. Let me explain on this. What has God given you in discouragement? He will provide something if you ask him and if you are seeking him at the crossroads of life. When discouragement hits you, there will be some form of something that he will bring to you, that he will provide for you to get through that discouragement. I don't know if it's a word, a Bible verse, a word from a prophet, maybe that someone came and said, God's got this for you in store, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe it's a verse, maybe it's a companion that God brought for you. I don't know, a dream, a vision, a song, whatever it is, you have got to cling to that thing like you would cling to a tree in a hurricane. You got to hold on to that truth. You can't let go, because if you let go of it, you'll go back. Ruth clung to Naomi. She clung. She adhered herself to her. While Orpah took off and went back home, I don't know what it is that God has given you in your life, but you got to cling to it. When I was pregnant with Samuel, my second son, the Lord gave me a vision and he gave me a dream. And it was very real. And then he came and spoke something to me very audibly. He just came and he said it, and I knew it was his voice. And I had this thing, this dream, and this audible word from God. And I had it, and it was this package deal. And I had it, and it was right before I went through one of the darkest, darkest places in my entire life. I'm talking physically, mentally, and spiritually. It was black. Black. But before I entered that place, I had this thing. And let me tell you what, there were days when I wanted to give up because the pain inside me was so real and so heavy and so dark. But every time I wanted to go back, I remembered the promise. And I would cling to that thing like it was my medicine or it was something that was going to save me. I clinged to that thing in my word, and I knew that God was going to get me through this because he had already showed me what he had for me. And I clung to that thing. I clung to it in the hurricane, and the winds blew, and the rains came, and it was tough. And there were times when I wanted to just release my grip, but I clung to it. Come on, ladies. This is real life here today. This is real life. Life is not tutus and tiaras all the time. Sometimes we have to walk through thorns to see roses. We just have to. This is real life. God knew what I was fixing to go through, and he gave me a Naomi to cling to. That is something to pray about right there. 4 times Naomi told Ruth, go back. Go back. Will we allow others to influence the place where we're headed? Will we let others deter us from where God is taking us? Come on, that was tweetable. I don't have a Twitter account, but I just like saying that. Or are we going to choose to walk forward? Wow. 4 times Naomi told Ruth, go back. 4 times this woman said, go back, go back, go back, go back. Now, I want to tell you something. I found this very interesting. We're going to dig deep here. Are you ready? We're fixing to go even deeper. Naomi was Ruth's escape. Come on. Naomi was Ruth's escape. What God provided for Ruth to escape was also the place that discouraged her the most. Come on, I'm going somewhere here this morning. I find this so funny as I study the Bible. Do you ever feel like what God has given you in life also is the thing that discourages you the most? Come on, does anyone testify to this? Because I surely do. I don't know if it's because it brings division into your life. It brings out judgmental people in your life. It brings out the haters. She's a hater. It brings out this stuff that you never had to deal with before, because when you go with the crowd, you're not fighting. But when you turn around and go against the crowd, there's a lot of slaps on the hands, is there not? Come on, ladies. Anytime you choose to go against what the world wants you to do, you're going to get some slaps on your hiney. It's just going to happen. The thing that God has chosen and enabled you to go through sometimes will be the thing that is discouraging you the most in your life. But, it could be the thing that pushes you into heritage. It could be the thing that sharpens that iron that you needed. It could be the thing that says, no, I will not give up. I'm going to keep going. It could be the thing that God has put in your life, yes, to cling to, yes, it's that gift, but also to sharpen you so that when you get to the new place, you're ready for it. You're ready for it. Whew. What caused the change? What caused this halfway spot? What got delayed back on track to future? So here we are. We're stuck. We're here. Discouragement's hitting us. God's provided the thing. We cling to it. Sometimes we got to cling to it for a while, right? Cling to it. Now, what happens next? What gets us out of a place of just surviving to now to a place of thriving? What is the next step? What does the Bible tell us that gets this journey back on track? Look at verse 16 and 17. Is anyone learning anything here this morning? Praise God. I love that 2 people are. Verse 16 and 17. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. Woo! Are you ready? This is what got things back on track. Ruth proclaimed her intentions. Write that down. Ruth proclaimed her intentions. Oh, the power of declaring what you believe. Come on. The power of declaring what you believe. That's the turning point in Ruth's life. Because now she started lining up her words with God's words. And she started lining up her thoughts with God's thoughts. And her ways with her ways. Because what was she doing here? She was declaring heritage as an Israelite. Come on, ladies. She sat there and said on this pathway, she said, your God is going to be my God, and your people are going to be my people, and I'm going to walk the walk, and I'm going to talk the talk, and I'm going to do this thing according to what you have taught me through history. She started declaring the heritage of Israel. What would happen in our lives if we started declaring and believing that we really, everyone here is a child of God. Come on. What if we started believing and declaring that you were bought at a serious price, that you are loved, you are provided for, that you are highly favored, and God's got a plan for future and for hope for you? What if we actually believed that stuff and we proclaimed it? What would happen on our journeys? What would happen? What would happen? Maybe we would get out of this place of stuck that so many people in the church find themselves. You're like in chains being pulled, and finally you can get forward onto heritage. Ladies, declare it. Declare who you are in Jesus. I am a daughter of the one true King. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of living. I will prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers. I will finish the race marked out for me. I will inherit the land that he has for me. Greater is he within me than he that is in the world. He who began a good work in me shall not bring it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Come on, according to Galatians chapter 4, it says that you are no longer the daughter of the slave woman. You are the daughter of the free woman. Start declaring it. I am no longer bound to slavery. I am no longer bound to the past and to my past life and to my past circumstances. Behold, the word behold means to stand in awe and amazement of who God is. Behold, he do a new thing in my life, and he's taking me to new places, and I'm going to new things. What if we declared life like that? Woo! Would there be some change? Would there be some change in our circumstances? The Bible says that we are saved first by believing, and then it says secondly by declaring it out of our mouth. Come on, we can be saved and go to heaven, but you can be saved and go to heaven and live in hell. Come on, ladies. You can be saved and go to heaven, but physically live in an earthly hell because you have not decided to declare and to walk in the true goodness of God and what he has for you. You got to get out of the past and you got to get into the future. And you got to declare it with your mouth. The Bible says you can believe it, but declaring it is what's going to get you to the next step. The Bible says that in your mouth you hold life and death. And those that use it will eat of its fruit. That's powerful stuff right there. This is so exciting. Are you ready? Listen to verse 18. When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined, declared, was not backing down, was going forward to go with her, she stopped urging her. Oh, if that is not powerful stuff right there, I don't know what freaking is. That is good stuff right there. When your faith in what God has for you has a greater cry than the cry of the enemy coming against you or your circumstance, come on, ladies. There is a voice of discouragement has to shut its mouth. It has to shut its mouth. Is your faith louder than the cry of your circumstance? Because you know what? The one that's louder is going to win. The one that speaks up loud is going to win. The one that's constantly going through your mind, that one's the one that's going to win. The one that speaks out the faith, that's the one that's going to win. The one that cries louder is going to win. Come on, the Bible says that when she realized that she was determined, she stopped. She stopped urging her. She stopped. Don't you want it to stop? Don't you want it to stop? So you can move on in God and move to the new places that God is establishing for you. Whew. I want to end with this, just a small little testimony. 9 years ago, when all of a sudden the Lord just zapped me with a, what is that gun called that the policemen use? That doesn't kill you. Taser. Yeah, taser. That's what it feels like. Zapped me with a taser gun and said, oh, now you're going to do this thing. I'm calling you. I've anointed you. It was like a zap. That's what it felt like. It felt like lightning going through my veins. I was like, all of a sudden, I was like, oh my gosh, I just want to study the word, and then I want to go preach it. Like, it was weird, because I didn't have those emotions growing up. I never had desires for anything like that. But as I began to just seek the face of God and really just cling into him and to fall into his arms and just really, I desire. understand who he was, all of a sudden, he zapped me with purpose. Oh my goodness. You mean when I get alone with God, he tells you things that are awesome? Yes. He zapped me with purpose. And I was so excited about what God was calling me to or what I was feeling in my heart that I started to go around and tell people because you just want to share your joy. And every voice that I told came back and discouraged me. Well, are you sure? I don't know. These things are very cautious. You have to be very careful about these things. Everything, we need to pray about it. We should fast and pray. And blah, blah. Every voice coming up at me that I told just either was silent or was just discouraging. God gave me one freaking person. One person. Gave me one Naomi that believed in what God was doing. And let me tell you what, I clung to her. I clung to her during that time. Because it was the only thing that God was giving me to encourage me to do what I was called to do. So I was done trying to convince others with my mouth what God was calling me to. And so all of a sudden I said, this isn't working. Arguing with words isn't working. I'm going to start arguing with faith in action. So what I began to do is I began to read more. I began to pray more. I began to humble myself before the Lord and others more. I began to study more. I began to give of my possessions more. I began to declare his promises more. And all of a sudden, this faith started to well up in me, and God started to take me to new places. And him that doubted now believes. Him that discouraged now says, look what God has done. And I say, yeah. Man. We got to sometimes shut our mouth and stop arguing with people and just start believing with actions of faith that he is doing what he has called us to do. And God will take care of all those doubters. He'll take care of all that stuff because they'll see the finished work and know that it was God. And know that it was him. This is my favorite part. I'm going to end with verse 22. Are you ready? It says, so Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth, the Moabitess. Her daughter-in-law, here they are. Their journey, they're on that road. They are arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. Ladies, is that not a prayer? God, take me where you're taking me at the beginning of that harvest, at the beginning of that fruitful place so I can partake in the joy of that thing and not the hardship of that thing. He knows you've already been through it all. But when you get to that place, Lord, help me to come in at the season's beginning. And as I began to really think about this, anyone that gets in on the beginning of something, like a stock or a trade or anything like that, anybody that gets on at the beginning of something reaps the biggest at the end. Is it not true? Gets the biggest investment back at the end. So here we have Ruth going in. Woo! Going in. At the beginning of the barley harvest. And we know, if you know anything about Ruth, at the end, she owns that harvest. Come on, ladies. Is that not something exciting to end with today? He's got you ownership in something in his kingdom. Are you ready to take that journey? Are you ready to get out of the crossroads? Are you ready to faith it in action, even if it means you got to do it on your own? Are you ready? Because God's saying it's time. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. I thank you for this word. I pray that it would not return it to you void. It accomplishes where it is sent and prospers in the way it should go. Your word is like a seed, and it goes out, and it digs into the soil of our heart. Father, we pray against birds that would try to come and steal. We pray against thorns and thistles that would try to distract and choke out the word of God in our life. I pray that they would dive into fruitful soil, Lord, that they grow and develop in your perfect season, Lord. Your anointing is on these women. Your blessing is on these women. You have such goodness for them because you are a good, good, good Father. As the music says, it is true, and you are true. And we love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.